have a special request for Brother Ronnie Gidrose. He's in the hospital in Houston with serious heart issues. And we want to remember Wanda Armstrong. She had surgery this morning. And we want to pray that she has a fast recovery. Charles Scarborough is going to have surgery. And Josh Smith has been very sick. Sister Jane Lay also has been very ill. Chad McQueen needs healing in his body. And we want to continue praying for Sister Geraldine Osmus. We love her so much, and we're going to believe for healing in her body. Kenny Ham is battling cancer. Cindy Pinson wants to pray for a good report on her test. Sister Cynthia Brown is needing healing in her body. Sister Sue Smith needs prayer for healing in her body. And Brother and Sister Griffith both need prayer. So if you want to stand right now, we'll take these prayer requests before the throne of God. God, we thank you that we are able to bring our petitions before you. You hear and you care. You can always do something about all of these healings.
You calm my rage.
God, we pray healing in the body of all of these whose names have been called tonight.
With me,
Wanda, Ronnie Gidrose, and Josh, Sister Lay, Chad McQueen, Sister Osmond, Cindy Pinson, Cynthia Brown, Sue Smith, Brother Sister Griffith. God, we're believing that you're going to move in their situation.
Lord,
bring healing to their bodies.
I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're
a deliverer in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I'm going to, as far as the announcements go, Asher and Juliana are getting married this month, and the little table in the foyer is for wedding gifts for them. Don't stop praying for our sign campaign, sign-up sheet in the foyer, or you can use the QR code to order you a sign. On the 7th at 5 a.m., there's going to be prayer in the sanctuary. Everyone is welcome to join. On the 7th, also, there's prayer.
Seth called in to our advisory board and told them that he felt like right now that he did not have what he wanted to be able to come. And so we just found that out just prior to coming into the service. So I wanted you to just not be shocked overly, but he has felt that that is not where God wants him for now. So I encourage you to let your faith and spirit rise up in the activity of the Holy Ghost, because God is able to do exceeding abundantly. We don't just quote that scripture. He gave us His voice on it. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask, and then He says, or think. And so God's plan is foolproof, and our plan is to follow Him. And I encourage us to strengthen our brothers and sisters during all that God has got going on. And I'd like for us to pray right now that the Spirit of mercy and grace — grace is a teacher, and mercy helps us to negotiate all activities. So, Father, we have a particular prayer of faith right now. You know what Paris, Texas needs in the way of revival, in the way of a church body and a leadership that will help us to negotiate all the promises of heaven. And in the name of Jesus, I pray Your glory upon Your people across the world. Praise God. We will move on into a lesson tonight, and hopefully we'll negotiate some things and thoughts that God has helped me with this early part of the week. So fortunately, I didn't have to just rush into something. But God is on your side. There's never a day that He's not for us. And so in my notes today, this on top of this little bitty podium, what we do know is Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't change. He didn't change His mind. He is constantly looking for a place to show Himself strong. And that place is a place of love and a place of faith. Christ didn't make a mistake when He died for you. He died purposefully that whosoever will could come and find the river of life. And so He has already provided a place beyond the grave, and beyond our worries, beyond our fears, beyond all of the things that are going on in this world. He has a place that's safe. And your children and the people that you really want to go to the holy city with you have a future regardless of what humanity does. So I'd like for us to talk tonight for a little bit about the kingdom of God. Christ died for you. You don't need to pluralize it. What about Him? What about her? What about them? What we know is He died that you. He makes it a very personal experience. Nobody can buy you out of it. Nobody can buy you out of it. Nobody can talk you out of it. You just have to allow yourself to be talked out of it for yourself. That's why we pray in the Holy Ghost. And so we know, the Scripture says it clearly, we know in whom we have believed. We are persuaded. Persuaded literally has a leaning posture. I lean that way. A lot of people, they say, I don't know, I'm sure I'm leaning a little bit that way. Well, we understand what they mean. They're thinking that more than anything else at the time. Well, He says, lean not to your own understanding, but look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. So we not only lean toward Him, we lean on His word, because the word of the Lord is a foundation. So the writer, Matthew, is saying, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so he exposes the concept and the realization that every day has evil associated somewhere in it. But he says, look not to the right nor to the left, but looking up and looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of all of this. I'd like to read from Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 27. They answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell you, by what authority I do these things. And so he begins to tantalize their mind with a realization of something that is so intangible and yet so attainable. You can't see it. You can't necessarily feel it with your five dimensions of life, but you can sense when the devil's working on you. You can't see him. You can feel some thoughts. And that's the spirit of Satan and the spirit of darkness and the spirit of hell. And so God makes clear his purpose, his plan, his powers. And so that's why he says, study to show yourself approved of God. In other words, as we prove a car, we check it out. We check the ignition. We check the steering wheel. We check the brakes. We check everything about it. Then we check the oil. Then we check the transmission fluid. And then we grease the bearings. And then we take care of all of the above. And even now and then we wash it. Good muddy day. Next day sun shines. We out there getting it cleaned up. And that's what happens in life. Everything walks and works that way. And so he said, touch not the unclean thing, because the unclean will get a hold of you. You can't take a clean hand and just clean up something. You can figure out a way to use your clean hand and clean something up, but a dirty hand can dirty up a lot of stuff, a lot of filth. So let's move on in Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first son and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. Came to the second son and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he didn't go. How many times as a pastor have I seen people make the commitment, I'll go. I'll follow the Lord. And then later, they turn around and do what they want to do and claim he let them down. Nope. There are people that just don't keep the faith. And that's why that for a minute it sounds good. And then first thing you know, it sounds like everything. But then it don't work like we want it to work. So if we're not really careful, we get fuzzed up at God even. I can't believe you let that happen in my life. When actually he put it in writing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are troubled. There are a lot of things that trouble us. And so we have to outthink the trouble through the truth. We have to outpower the weakness of flesh with the empowerment of I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, those are phenomenal things. And that's what keeps us moving forward. And so I will go back to Matthew, the 21st chapter and verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans, notice this, the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe in him. So God just takes this whole thing and peels the facade off of religion and tells people there is legitimacy to reasoning that your power structure is limited when you don't pray daily and walk in the Word daily and live with the hope daily. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in supremacy. And so the whole theory tonight of this service, and God woke me up just in the middle of the night, and I thrill at the idea of his careful planning and posturing for us. So we're talking tonight about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So let's look at Mark's rendering. Mark 1 and 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locust and wild honey and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I have done all I could, or I have baptized you with water. But when he comes, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Every one of us are looking up tonight. We are wanting to hear him say that for us. This is my beloved body of believers. This is those who have turned away from sin and iniquity and doubts and fears and inhibitions, and they lift up holy hands without wrath. They're not mad about the fact that we got troubles and difficulties. They are joyful because in their heart they know, my Redeemer liveth. My soul is given to the Master of life. My future is in the hands of the one who created the sun, moon, and stars. I'm not in a vague situation. I have a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above, and I trust his wisdom. I trust his truth. I'm not waiting on some human eloquence to get a hold of me. I've got his word in my home. I've got his word in my head. I've got his word in my feet. I've got his word
in my heart. I've got His Word planted in me, and the fruit of His Spirit is literally overcoming the doubts and the weird feelings and the inhibitions that people would try to put in my mind and my heart. No. I've got the 9 fruit of the Spirit, and I've got the glory of knowledge, and I know that if He went away, He shall so come again as men have seen Him go. He's coming just like that. And all of a sudden, in that one split second, the rest of my change is going to be transformed, and I am going to fly away, and we're going to keep singing it. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away some glad morning when this life is o'er. I'll fly away. Would somebody like to stand and praise Him for that promise? That promise that His eye will take you into a new dominion. I'm going to lift you out of this world, out of this flesh. You're going to have a brand new body. You'll never have a negative thought again. Hallelujah. There's something glorious happening in this house tonight. There's something wonderful happening in our world tonight. And it's all Jesus. Oh, let's go back to verse 15. The time is fulfilled. And so now the kingdom of God is at hand. And repent and believe the gospel. Luke says this in chapter 17. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, this is the Christ. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. See, humans all like to see it, to believe it. Faith says, I will believe it, and faith will maturate it or make it come to fruition or come into appearance. That's why we are saved by faith, because we believe by faith the Word of God, and so we stand on the promises of God, and then we find elevation in the perspective of I am above what I was. I am above what the enemy wanted me to be. My flesh wanted me to live down there with everybody else. But my spirit said, one of these days, you're going to grow in grace and knowledge, and you are going to find yourself, hallelujah, up in the glories of God, or in the clouds where airplanes fly and where birds fly and where glories are revealed. And all of a sudden, one of these days, when people have watched you ascend into holiness and righteousness and godliness and peace and joy, hallelujah, I'm about to have an explosion tonight. I just came to just do a little simple stuff, but there's an anointing in this house tonight. You are going to walk out of here, and you're going to help your brothers and sisters to get a hold of this. We don't get this just for us, and we get it so that when we go out yonder, we got wine or we got whatever, we've got glory to spare. We've got, it's running over. It is a river of life. It's not a stagnant pond of yesterday. I can remember 20 years ago when I enjoyed worshiping. I can remember 10 years ago when I enjoyed dancing in the presence of God. I can remember, the memory's not going to get us anywhere. I'm telling you, the memory will only tell us one thing. He's alive. He did it once. He'll do it again. He did it for somebody else, He'll do it for me. He did it once. He got out of the grave. He's getting me out of the grave. I'm not going to play games with religion. I am in Christ Jesus, a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things are becoming new. We are changing daily because all newness lies in our future, Renly. Can you hold her up and let see all these wonderful people here tonight? Would y'all stretch your hand and pray that God would give that couple a strong prayer life to let Renly sing for somebody someday? Would you pray for this little girl right now? I want you to be able to tell her the whole church prayed for her on Wednesday night. Renly, in the name of Jesus, we pray the word of God. We pray the love of God. We pray the glory for your mother and your dad to be able to raise you in the righteousness of the kingdom. Praise God. Could we just clap our hands that there's a promise for that kid? All right. So he said to the disciples in verse 22, the days will come. See, we like to read that stuff fast, and because we can read it in history, we think that it ought to be now. But the days will come, and he puts it in that way. And when he says, you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and then he literally says, but you shall not see it. He read their faith all the way back in that setting. So in verse 23, they shall say to you, see here or see there. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit right now. That's what a lot of people do. Oh, yeah, I've heard about all y'all's joy. And yet I saw you, your son died early in life. Yeah, I saw you jumping and dancing one day, but your wife or your husband passed away premature. Yeah, and so the negatives of hell try to burn a blister in our mind. Let me tell you, nobody that's walking in Christ is going to die before God says it's okay. And if God sees them walking in Christ and living according to the Word of God and living holy before God and loving their neighbor and loving God with all of their heart, let me tell you one thing. There is no devil in hell, and there's not a million demons that can condemn you when you have your eyes fixed on the Messiah. I'm here to tell you, his eyes are roving to and fro over the face of the whole earth looking for somebody. And he's saying, I've got your number over there, sister. I've got your number over there, brother. And I've been watching you every day. When you get up and the first thing in the morning you do is you praise God for your home. You praise God for your food. You praise God for a good job. You praise God you got money going for you. You don't ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, sir, you deserve all of this. No, no, no. It is the mercy of God that every one of us have got a good suit of clothes. It's the mercy of God that we can dance and shout over all of the pitiful things that happened in our life and the weak things that would try to struggle us now. I'm telling you, I'm not going to let us get choked down. I'm going to preach the therapy of the Holy Ghost, exercising thyself unto godliness. Let me tell you, there's a reason we keep shouting. There's a reason we keep, because he loves and dwells in the presence of praise. We're not going to go a day without, I can hear my dad right now, one leg halfway cut off, cancer, all kind of scars from his World War, huge scars in his body. And I could hear him now. Thank you, God. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the church family. Thank you. And I could hear my dad-in-law, who was it osteomyelitis and other things. He had a stiff hip. It wasn't fused together. And I can remember him when church service was going on, and people that had all kind of capable bodies, and A.C. Mason would come, hallelujah, and the first thing you know, he'd see that leg swimming. And I mean, just running almost. And he'd say, praise God, praise God. And when that weakened flesh was conquered all over the church service, people started getting up and saying, if A.C. Mason can shout, if A.C. Mason can do that, there must be something going on in the Holy Ghost. There must be something about God that is able. Hallelujah. And I watched him, and the glory of the Lord. He went through what the Bible said. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them from them all. Oh, could somebody praise God right now that you know in whom you have believed? It's not a facade. You know the Messiah. You know the truth works. You know the Holy Ghost works. You know that revival is here. You know that revival is coming. You know the kingdom of God is at hand. The rapture is going to take place. Don't you let the devil lie to you one more day. You get a hold and a grip of whatever got you to start in this thing, and you tell the devil every day, you're not going to get me. I know my God. I know my brothers and sisters. I know they have weak days. I know that everything's not perfect, but I know a God that is perfect in every way. I know a God that knows the way in the darkest of times. I am his child. I refuse to call myself his child and then not honor him as father. When that Bible said, honor your father and mother in the Lord, that's huge stuff. Don't let the devil do anything to dissuade you because everything didn't work out the way humans wanted it to work out. So Paul is saying, 1 Corinthians 4, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have ye not many fathers. For in Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. I wish you'd look back a little bit and remember some of those revival days. Remember some of the wonderful preaching, the wonderful singers, the wonderful worshipers. I could go on and on. There are people that have paraded Jesus Christ in the corridors even of this newer sanctuary. But even over yonder, and some of you might even go back all the way over across town to the little wooden frame building. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a God that can feel every vacancy in your mind, in your physical anatomy. He will make the crooked places straight. Verse 20, for the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy. And so what will ye, Paul says, shall I come with unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? So the kingdom of God is comprised in 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and don't love my neighbor, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. The rest of it won't happen. I am nothing. So Paul is reading and writing, and he said, though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it is not a profitable thing. It profiteth me nothing. Charity does suffer long. And is kind. Charity never envies. Charity never applauds itself. It's never puffed up or looking at situations and saying, I don't know why God did that for you and he didn't do for me what I wanted him to do for me. He said, charity don't puff up like that. He said, charity suffereth long and is kind. And so we read the scripture simple. God is love. God is love. There is no love without God's love. The other love is lust. People think that they love something when often the definitive is lust. I've got to have that. I am going to get that whatever the cost is. Love is sacrificial, but love gives itself to the people that enjoy true love. And that true love is what raises up, because God is love. The devil don't know how to love. He never will love you. He will never give you what you really need. He will do everything in his power to make you and I think that we deserve all of the things in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a position tonight to pivot the power of God. God brings it to us in his word through his spirit. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. So I want us to go quickly through the rest of 1 Corinthians 13. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, I have watched people think, and I have heard them say it in my past years of revivals and evangelism. And I had a pastor tell me one time, he said, let me tell you something, don't get all sold on that person. They stand up and give a message in tongues, but they don't even live for God. I'll never forget that day. It blew my mind, because I was a young man and I thought anybody that talked in tongues and gave a word sounded like a prophecy or an understanding. And that pastor shared with me something that I will always benefit from. He said, when there is not love in it, it's not the real God. There's a God of the flesh. And though I speak with the tongue of, watch it now, men and of angels, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, those are not coming from some little guy over in the corner. We're talking about the God that puts the stars in the place. We're talking about the God that knows how to keep you breathing when all kind of things are going on. And he knows how to get you out of death and get you into a new body. So he says in verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. True love, don't give up quick. True love suffereth long and is kind. True love doesn't envy. I don't know how so-and-so's getting by with that. My God, and they use God's name like that. My God, I can't believe that they're getting by with that. Let me tell you something. Judgment day will come. And anything that's not repented of will come up on judgment day. That's why I preach this gospel. I want you to know I love you. I care about what you do and where you live and how you live and where you wind up, because I believe this stuff. And so we're talking about this entire chapter of love. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, all of that goes downstream. It profiteth me nothing. Charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity doesn't envy. Charity, love, doesn't vaunt itself. Charity is not puffed up. Thing I'll do, I won't speak to them. Why, if God would have done that for us? What if God would have done that to me when I wouldn't go to the altar after I needed to go? What would happen if at my age that I have realized there are some things I have not done best, and I just said, well, you know, I did good when I was 40. No, no. Age don't count. Don't come here playing games with yourself. Don't let your neighbor play games with themselves. It's high time for us to do what Paul said to the church at Rome. It's high time for us to awaken. Our posture is powerful. When we are in Christ Jesus, a new creation, we're not just a people going to a house that's called a church. We are the church. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the children of the Most High. We have the glory of the Most High. We have advantage in the Most High. There is nothing He will withhold from them that love Him and believe in Him. And so that's what we're doing. We don't just come to the house of God just to be repetitious and just to hear somebody say what we want them to say. We go to the house of God for God to get the hold of the man of God and to get that word of God out there and say, come on, let's chisel away just some of this little stuff that's innocent, but it looks innocent, but it's not. It is a worry wart. It's got me fearful. It's got me, let me tell you, love hath no fear. Love walks up to a cross and says, nail the nails in my hand. Love walks into the graveyard and says, you go ahead, but in 3 days I'm out of here. Love says that you may have all kind of sins in your life, but if you'll come to me, I will forgive you, and you will be, all your sins will be gone, and you will be as white as snow. Love says, I can do what you want me to do because I have all power through the love of power of creation. Love created everything. He's not partial love. That's what religious people have made him. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the prince, not them, the Prince of Peace. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. And He is the coming Messiah. That's why I don't want to get my eyes off of Him. And that's why I'm going to preach as hard as I can to keep your eyes riveted on that cross that's empty and riveted on that tomb that's empty. Been looking under the heavens and understand that the Son, hallelujah, obeys His voice every morning. And the clouds obey His voice every day, and the rain comes on occasions when He says, ladies and gentlemen, He's alive as He's ever been, and He's going to be on your side as long as you'll let Him in your heart. He is going to raise up the people of God. Would y'all get ready a song? I'm just going to stop. I just want it said that 1 Corinthians 13 is the alma mater to love. If you don't read a whole lot more, make sure you know 1 Corinthians 13. Paul pulls the Messiah out of the graveyard. Paul pulls the Messiah out of the holy city. And he begins to tell them, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I give my body to be burned and I don't have love, I don't have anything. Someday you're going to be glad a preacher preached something strong that would purify the vilest, weakest moment in life. I wonder if while we close our eyes, And if there's anything that you can do to help your neighbor, would you pray that God would give you the wisdom and the knowledge to help them understand that the Holy Ghost is more than just being a Pentecostal. The Holy Ghost is God in your life, guiding your life through the Word and through the world. Go ahead and sing it. And if there's some of you that would not mind coming to Calvary down here, we used to do this all the time, and I don't want to force anybody. But we used to come to the altar and just give God some sacrificial thoughts. Looking in this building, he's looking at Pastor Meyer's heart. We can't wish it on anybody else, but we can witness it. Would you hold the song just a minute? I want us to pray for all the backsliders. You can't call their name in the short time we've got. But there's an aura. There's an aura in this house. I don't know which one of you prayed it in. But there's an aura here. Would you pray for any backsliders tonight that you may know, or somebody that you know has sort of lost their courage or their faith? When Zion travails, sons and daughters are born. Go ahead and sing while we're crying out.
Oh, what a
would like to tell you what my plan is, and that is to have another speaker in for Sunday and have a special reviving of the Word. And I haven't called him yet, but it was the first name that came to my mind after I just got the message just before I walked in here. It's not like I've had all evening to think about what's going on, but I did go to the Lord in prayer, and I think that if this could work out, Sunday we'll have a really good meeting. And I'll just tell you, Brother Chargois is the one I'm thinking about, so you have an idea of where I'm headed with that, because God has done so much through his life and so much in his life. And so, and that may or may not work. I haven't called him. I just, 5 minutes after church started, I came in here, and that was when I found out. So, anyhow, I want us just to be in faith, prayer. God never makes a mistake. And if we ever trusted Brother Seth, now's the time to trust him still. If he don't sense that this is the time and place, we trust that. He's that kind of great guy. I mean, I know that. Just a wonderful gentleman. But I believe God's got some assignments. And so I trust the Lord more than I trust any of us. He is God. And so we're working that way. You just be praying and asking God, let the Spirit of the Lord move through the deep. He's got something going on. God bless you. Shake hands. Let's encourage one another, and let's let the glory of the Lord be revealed. And the message tonight, you know, didn't come after he called.
Try.